I'm fantasy author L. Penelope, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Friday, September 27th, 2019, and this is episode 34 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. So, this week's best thing was the Brooklyn Book Festival. I went up last weekend, and I had a great time. I had two events there. I was on a panel with N.K. Jemisin and Fenderson Jolly Clark, who are both amazing, award-winning writers who I really respect and like. And I had met Fenderson at ReaderCon, and I had briefly met N.K. Jemisin at a signing in D.C. earlier this year, but this was the first time I actually got a chance to talk to her. And she was really lovely and just super genuine, and the panel went well. I, of course, was a bit nervous about being on a panel with such accomplished writers, but I don't think I sounded like an idiot, and we had a really good discussion. And so the whole thing was moderated. I was brought in by Terry, who writes as Zin E. Rocklin, and I had met her also at ReaderCon, but I had met her before at BEA. And we're also in the Sycorax's Daughters anthology together. And so she works at a bookstore that was putting on programming at the Brooklyn Book Festival. And so it was really just through connections that I had made by doing events and by going places and that got me this opportunity to be on this amazing panel with these amazing people. And yeah, it was great. And the festival as a whole was really, really nice, like really well organized. They had a really nice green room for the authors where they would take you over to where you were speaking. And I do a lot of events, and some of them are better organized than others. And so this one was just really nice. I would love to go back. I also did a guest bookseller stint at the Macmillan booth in the afternoon. And when I'm able to like do these things where I sell the book, you know, hand to hand, I do pretty well. Like, we sold out of Song of Blood and Stone. There were a few copies of Whispers of Shadow and Flame left. They had Whispers early. And since it's book two, you know, like, people are going to generally start with book one. Even though I always told people you could start with book two because they're parallel stories, but if you're an organized thinker and you want to go in order, then. But there were several people who bought both, copies of both books, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of trust, because what if you don't like the first one? But yeah, I really enjoy pitching the book to people and just talking to people, you know, face to face. And there were people who had, you know, read book one and were just buying book two, and that was great. So yeah, overall, it was a good trip. I got to hang out with my brother a little bit and then thankfully leave New York and come back home. New York is so stressful. There was a time after I finished grad school, I really wanted to move to New York. So I went to graduate school in California. I lived in Oakland. I went to what was then Cal State Hayward. Now it's Cal State East Bay. And my master's is in multimedia, and I really wanted to do interactive museum exhibits. And I wanted to, of course, all of the museums in D.C., but I wanted to go to New York, and I had friends there, and I was all set to go. And I can't remember exactly what stopped me, but I was going to just stay with my friends and just do that whole thing. And it's fine when you're 22 or 23 years old. It makes a lot of sense. But I'm really glad that I didn't, because I ended up moving back home. And the next year, that was 2002, 2 years later, my father passed away very unexpectedly and very quickly. And so I was glad that I was home for those last couple of years. And after that, I stayed in Maryland and I didn't pursue the New York dream. And now when I go to New York, it's just like, oh, to get on the subway, or if there isn't a subway, you have to schlep this way and that way. And then it's just a lot to do. And I'm a suburban person. I grew up in the suburbs, and maybe I was just meant to be in the suburbs, because as bad as it is for the environment, I like getting in my car and driving to where I need to go and getting there in a timely fashion and not having to consult like all of these maps and timetables. Like, trying to get from my brother's apartment to where the festival was. They're both in Brooklyn, but he was in Williamsburg, and the festival was, I don't know, somewhere else. So there wasn't a direct train. Like, there was a train, but I would have had to walk 15 minutes to get to the train. And then once I got off the train, I would have had to walk 15 minutes more to get to where I was going. And it was like 87 degrees outside. And so I took a lift because I'm from the suburbs. And that made much more sense to me. I didn't want to be there. Like, I knew I was going to get hot and sweaty while I was there. I didn't want to arrive hot and sweaty and, you know. And so anyway, I never ended up working at museums making interactive installations, but I did work in my field and eventually left working. Well, didn't leave. I mean, I started my own business, left working for other people, which was best for my personality to work for myself. So, oh, and thanks to, so much to Terry. She has this really cool t-shirt that says, support Black women who write weird shit. I do not know if you can buy it online. If I figure out a way to do that, I will put it in the show notes. Otherwise, I think you have to find her and buy it from her. But it's a great t-shirt. And yeah, it was a great festival. I enjoyed myself a great deal. And so next week, or tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the day this podcast comes out, Whispers of Shadow and Flame comes out, book two in the Earth Singer Chronicles. And yeah, I finished all the blog posts that I had to write for the blog tour that's happening. And I did a post this week. I meant to do one earlier, and it didn't happen until Thursday. Because sometimes, oh, I don't know. It's just been a week. It hasn't been a bad week. It's just been something that threw me off this week. I've been drinking this. I bought this peppermint tea. And I just assumed that since it was peppermint tea, it was herbal. So I was drinking it at night. And then I'm trying to figure out why I haven't been able to sleep the past two nights. And finally looked at the box and saw that, oh, this is black tea with peppermint in it. So yesterday I took a nap at 10 a.m. because I was so exhausted. And I stop drinking caffeine at noon generally because it keeps me up. And it also sometimes gives me like night sweats. So the past couple of nights, I have not been sleeping. I thought it was just stress again, and because I had improved my sleep hygiene since the whole insomnia thing, and I had been doing well. But I'm blaming this peppermint tea that I didn't realize was not herbal. So I drank it last night, and the last night was when I discovered that it was not herbal. And so today I just feel completely drained. I don't think I'll need a nap at 10 a.m., but all that to say, I've been off this week a little bit, and I blame the tea. So trying to prepare in whatever way is still necessary for this release. The only things I really had to do were those blog posts and still doing the read-along in the Facebook group. The last week of the read-along, and I'm going to do a Facebook Live on Sunday. So those are the things that I still have left on my plate, and then cordoning off Tuesday to basically respond to social media posts and whatever else, you know, emails that come in and promote and all of that stuff. Release days usually. I block it off. I might write in the morning if I get up at 6 and write and then do release day stuff. That should work, but we'll see what actually happens. So it is exciting. My excitement is a little tempered by exhaustion. I don't know. No, not exhaustion. Just this whole tea thing. I don't know. Just really has bothered me this week. I feel like I took a Benadryl when I didn't. I just feel a little like groggy and weird this morning, and I hope that it will not last much longer. So my writing update. My organized revision plan has been going really well up until the midpoint, which is where the fast draft begins to fall apart. So the first half, and this is always the case, the first half of the fast draft, like I was reading it, I was surprised how coherent it was. It needs a lot of cleaning up, but there's a lot of good words in there. Like, I'm not going to have to scrap everything. And then we get to the midpoint, and then everything else is like, each scene is like three paragraphs. I was just sketching things in. I was writing dialogue and some sketches about where things were happening. It's very obvious that I had a much less clear idea of what was going on. And so I'm at the point now where I'm like, should I go? I have a really good, the first 40 scenes seem to be really well thought out. And I have my spreadsheet and my index cards, and I could start revising those. Or should I really try to go through the end again and plan out the end? Knowing at this point, I don't think much in the beginning is going to change, because this whole process has been like showing me what I'm missing and the things I know that I need to add to these scenes. So I have a very good handle on the first half of the book. I have a very bad handle on the last half of the book from a specifics point of view. And so I don't know whether it's worth whether it's best to sit down and start really digging into the revision on the first half, knowing that that will spark ideas, or should I spend a couple of days really trying to at least outline in detail the things that happen in the second half? Because I have the big picture. I do know, but there's things like, in my notes, I still say, you know, Zelly has to go and find the MacGuffin. Like, I don't know what the MacGuffin is. Like, it's going to be a thing that she has to find, but I haven't figured out what that is yet. Because it's a MacGuffin. It's not super important what the actual thing is. It's just that the journey to find the thing is going to help to complete her character arc and then tie back into the ending. So I'm at not an impasse, but that's a decision that I'm going to make today and figure out. And I guess it doesn't cost me much to spend at least a few days trying to get some details down for the second half. Because I'll have to do it at some point, either now or later. But I don't want to spend too much time on it because actually doing the revision will clarify a lot of those things for me. So that's kind of where I'm at. But I do anticipate, either way, starting the actual revision sometime next week, which is still later than I had thought it was going to be. Everything takes longer than you think it's going to, but feeling good about what I have, feeling good about this process and its ability to shave off a draft or two from my normal process. And yeah, that looks good. Other things I've had to do, I saw a sketch about a month ago for the cover of book 3. And my editor's assistant emailed me last week, about they're starting the cover for book 4. And I think that might just be because the artist is, I get the impression he's very busy. And so maybe they're just trying to get it out of the way early. Because usually, like, they wouldn't have started the cover this early. But I'm hoping we can do a cover reveal for book 3 sometime soon, because the sketch that I saw didn't have any color or anything. It was, like, amazing. I'm so excited about the covers. I've also commissioned the cover for the second novella, and I should have that sometime soon and figure out if I'm going to do a cover reveal for that. I haven't done a pre-order on a self-published book in a while, like years. But I think it might be nice to, I think it's always nice if you do a cover reveal to have a pre-order available. And so since you can do them further in the future now, I might do that. Now, the second novella, I'm either going to release at the end of January or the beginning of February, because book 3 is supposed to come out in May of 2020. And I'm trying to space the novellas about halfway between release dates. And then book 4, I don't have a release date for that. They had initially said that they were going to come out about 6 months apart, which would put us at the end of 2020, potentially beginning of 2021. So for book 4, and then the third novella, book 3.5, would be halfway in between there. So that's the basic schedule. So for the covers, I don't have, you know, control over the covers, but they do ask me for scenes that could be illustrated and for the character descriptions of the characters that are featured. And my editor is the one who really decides what she thinks, who the characters should be, like which characters should be shown on the cover, and makes the final decision about which scene. And I give her my suggestions and I give her my thoughts about it. And then the art department comes in and works with the illustrator, this fabulous illustrator. And so then they send me, you know, for feedback. And sometimes they take my feedback and sometimes they don't. But I do love the covers that have come out so far. Really excited about books 3 and 4. And so since I'm self-publishing the novellas in between the novels, I wanted them to look like they belonged in the series, but still be unique. And so I had tried to get the same artist, but he wasn't available and he was probably too expensive. And so I found another really great artist that I like. And so I decided I didn't want to, like, the St. Martin's covers all have, like, big people on them and scenes. And I decided not to have a big person on the covers for the novellas, just to have more of a landscape or scenery. And so that's what we're going for in the novella covers, and I can't match the font either because the font is, like, customized by the art director at St. Martin's. And I wanted to be able to, it's been frustrating because I like things to match, and I'm a typography person. I love fonts. And so I was like, well, I could customize a font to be similar but different, because his customizations are like copyrighted to him. I can't copy exactly what he does. But then I was like, that's a lot of work. So I use a similar font that is not highly customized, but most people who aren't font people, when you look at it immediately, you can't really tell. And then if you look at it closer, like, oh, that is a different font. It's got, doesn't have all those swooshy, swirly things. Which does cause me a little bit of consternation, but I am learning to get over it. So I have had to restart this a couple of times because my camera keeps shutting off and I've lost my train of thought. But, I'm hoping to do a cover reveal and a title reveal, because I don't know that I've announced the title for the second novella. And I know I haven't for the fourth book. The third book is Cry of Metal and Bone, because I had announced that years ago when it was self-published. And the original self-published version of the cover is still on Goodreads, and it's still a gorgeous cover. But yeah, the new one. Really excited to see it. Also, Q4 starts October 1st, and I have remembered this before it has started, so hopefully I can do some Q4 planning. I mentioned last week that I had taken a break from my planner, but October is going to be busy, and I think Q4 is going to be busy, so I really need to get back into it. And so going through listing out my goals and the tasks associated with each goal, and then trying to schedule them as much as possible, and trying to really just get back into weekly planning and daily planning. The last couple of days, I brought out my planner and my daily planning sheets because I've had to get a lot done. And I'm trying to be really more organized about things. I'm trying to meet all my goals, exercise more. And I think I'm going to do, in October, do like a gluten-free October, because when I had gone to the doctor a few weeks ago, I took this test, which tells you the types of food that you might be reactive to. And it's like, it's just a blood test, and then somehow they do some science, and the results came back this week, which, not entirely surprising, but I'm highly reactive to gluten and any kind of wheat. And also coffee, which I don't drink. A lot of the stuff that I'm reactive to, I instinctively don't consume because, I don't know, I guess maybe it made me feel bad. I just don't like it. Like pineapples, also highly reactive to. I don't eat pineapples in general. Like, I just stay away from them. Pears, like, I don't dislike pears, but I'm never interested in eating pears. Bananas, though, is weird. I eat bananas literally every day. I am a banana person, so there's a bunch of other stuff that I'm going to try to just cut out and then see if I feel better. Because some of the stuff doesn't actively make me sick, and some does. But even the stuff that doesn't actively make me sick, I wonder if I could feel better if I wasn't consuming them. So I've done a gluten-free month. I've done Whole30s before. And I always do feel a lot better. Like, even if I figured out that, you know, there's a level of gluten that I, like this one day when my mom moved and I had like six donuts. Six donuts is too many donuts for me in a day. I was actively sick after that. Usually if I had to do like two or three maybe donuts, I'll be okay. Anyway, if I'm doing a special eating thing, I do have to meal plan, and I do have to kind of know what I'm cooking and when I'm cooking it, and do like the grocery store planning and all of that. So it's a good time for me to get back into planning more stringently and paying more attention to that. So yes, that is what I'm going to do. Try to this weekend do my Q4 stuff, get my monthly planner, and then all the other stuff that goes along with it. But I'm excited about it. Like, I like being organized. I do feel like I'm living dangerously when I don't have, you know, my planner set up, and it's more comfortable for me to try, at least, to be really organized. So yes, that is the plan. Figure out what I'm doing writing-wise, and then go forward with that. And then dig back into the revision, which is actually my favorite part. Like, I love making everything tight and pretty, and like that's when the wordsmithing comes in and the actual writing. I do believe that planning and brainstorming and thinking are valid writing tasks because they're so necessary. But I enjoy the writing a lot. And I'm also a little scared because I haven't done this part of like this deep revision style writing in a while, in a couple months. And so it's like, you're out of practice. How long will it take for me to get back into the groove of it? It's daunting. It's a lot of work. And, but yeah. So that's it for me for this week. I hope you have a wonderful week. And check out Whispers of Shadow and Flame, which comes out tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this. And happy reading. Talk to you later. For episode show notes and to learn more about me and my books, go to lpenelope.com. Subscribe to My Imaginary Friends wherever you get your podcasts, and check out the video episodes on YouTube. And please leave a rating and review to help support the show.